This morning's message is brought to us by Ethan Finseth.
Hello, everybody. So I'm very happy to be with you all today. I'm back. If you were here before, now you get to hear me again. Hopefully that's a good thing. It's an important time of the year, though. It's election season. And for some of us, this is the biggest time of the year. For some, it's not, and I'm not going to tell you who to vote for here. I can probably guess who most of you are voting for already, and I'm not here to get political or anything, but what a better time than now to see what God's Word says about government officials and about how we should respond, because as Christians, we have a responsibility to act in a certain way regarding government officials individually, and their places of authority. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to see that Christians must submit to governing authorities both to avoid God's wrath and for the sake of conscience, because God institutes and exercises His authority through these authorities. So you can turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Romans 13, 1 through 7. And I'll read it for you here. It says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." So I've got four main points for you coming from this. We're going to look at all of them and why they should bring us to a place of submission. At the end, we'll see what this means for us right now. So this letter was to the Romans was written in the first century to the Roman church around 57 AD. Receiving this letter would have understood it as thinking about the Roman Empire. Emperor Nero was the head at the time, who eventually would order the Apostle Paul's death, the author of this letter. So the people reading this would have understood this as the Emperor Nero and the other governing authorities at the time. And these authorities were not Christian. As I just said, Emperor Nero ended up killing Paul for his faith, and this is the same government that killed Jesus. And Paul and the Roman church would have known this, as Christianity wouldn't be legal in the Roman Empire for about 250 years after this. So knowing this, why would Paul urge his readers to submit to these pagan leaders? And the answer is simple, which is our first point, that God institutes governing authorities. Verse 1 says that there is no authority except from God. Because God is the ruler of the universe, no authority, no power can come from anywhere but Him. God has full control over anyone who is in power. No one can attain a position of power without being instituted by God and without His appointment. And this is evident in the following verses. In verse 2, when Paul says that whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, showing that any authority in place in government was put there by God, and resisting Him is the same as resisting God and what He's appointed. And this idea of God appointed earthly rulers wasn't a new idea to the audience, to this Roman church. throughout the book of Daniel. In the Old Testament, we repeatedly read that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Proverbs 21:1 says that the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. So we see that God has purposes for every earthly ruler, and he oversees every earthly ruler's position of power. So this wasn't a new idea to the Romans. But they knew that this government killed their Savior, Jesus Christ. And they knew that they did not approve of what they were doing as a church. So by making the claim that all authority comes from above, without exception, Paul was telling the church that even their pagan leaders were instituted by God and needed to be respected as such. And because all authority comes from God, this applies to us now. And the same idea with bad authorities instituted by God in the Roman time, with the emperor that killed Paul and with the government that killed Jesus, we see bad authorities now in our time. But we need to recognize that their place of power does come from God, and they were instituted by God. So looking at all of this, that no authority comes from anything or anyone but God, that God has full control over earthly governing authorities, and seeing that this is a timeless idea from the Old Testament all the way till now, we must submit. Anything instituted by God must be respected, and rejection of this will bring the wrath of God, which we'll discuss in a bit. So Christians must submit to government because God institutes governing authorities. Now let's look at why. Why does he do this? What's the purpose? Which is our second point, that God exercises his authority through governing authorities. He doesn't just put them in place, but he actually has a purpose for this. He has a purpose for everyone. And he exercises his authority in a couple ways. First of all, he uses human authorities to carry out his will. We saw how the institution was rooted in the Old Testament. We saw that God indeed does put people in power, and that their places of power come from only him. And this idea that he works through them and exercises his authority through them is also rooted in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 44 and 45, we see that God has plans for Cyrus years before he was born to carry out his will by freeing the Jewish people from Babylon. And Cyrus was another pagan leader. In places like 1 Samuel, we see Saul and David are anointed. And in 2 Kings, we see Jehu is anointed, as well as many others, showing that God anoints people to rule over his people. He puts them in power to work through his people to do his will. And another way God exercises his authority through human authorities is by bringing order to society. In verse 4, authorities are showing that they are in subjection to God themselves, and therefore are designated and are obligated to enforce God's design for government and society and human institution. We see an example of this towards the end of the passage in verse 6, when Paul tells the Romans about paying taxes. He says, "For because of this you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing." This means that they devote themselves to their positions and to their responsibilities. And if they are God's servants, these positions and responsibilities are meant to bring order. Another way they bring order is by approving good behavior and punishing bad behavior. Verse 3 and 4 says, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger, who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer." And this is reinforced in 1 Peter, when the apostle discusses a similar topic of being subject to authority in 1 Peter 2:13, it says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." So we see in these multiple passages that it is clear that God appoints leaders to bring order. It's clear that this approval of good behavior and punishment of bad behavior is God's design for human institution and government. And any sort of God-ordained authority is good for society because His holy standard is being exhibited and enforced. And this idea of human authorities carrying out justice is central to the argument that we must submit. Because this passage is saying that Paul's telling the Romans here that even your pagan Roman rulers are enforcing morality in some sense because of the true source of their authority, which is God. And this remains true today. Even if we think that some of our leaders aren't godly or are not enforcing godly things, the reality is that they've been put there by God, and their position enforces morality in some sense. And we must respect that. So we must submit to governing authorities because God uses them for His purposes and our good. Because of this, it's bad if we reject this authority, which brings us to our third point, which is that Christians must submit to governing authorities to avoid God's wrath. Again, looking at verse 2, "Whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Verse 4 says that, "But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he's the servant of God and avenger who carries out God's wrath." This wrath is not the wrath we might think of like in the Old Testament when God strikes someone down, but it is punishment inflicted by the human authority because of disobedience to them. And this disobedience can take many forms: not following laws, not paying taxes, lying to the government, saying sinful things about a leader, and many other things. And this punishment is justified because the governing authority is God's servant, and as we see here, does not bear the sword in vain, meaning it's not without purpose. This punishment is not without purpose. The authority is an avenger, meaning someone who represents someone else and carries out this punishment. So we see that disobedience to authority brings punishment, and that punishment is just because they represent God's authority. And now we don't want this wrath or punishment. And there's an easy way to avoid this, which Paul gives us here in verse 3. "Would you have no fear of the one who's in authority? Then do what is good." So if you don't want to see the wrath of God and the punishment by civil authorities, do good. So once again, we see that morality is enforced. Morality is enforced when God puts governing authorities in place to do His will. Christians must submit to government to avoid God's wrath, which is motivating and should be motivating, but this isn't the only or most important reason that we see in this passage. Which brings us to our fourth point, that Christians must submit to governing authorities for the sake of conscience. We see that in verse 5. In other words, it's the right thing to do. So we, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. We have God living in us. The same God who gives governing authorities their position and their authority lives within us. And we therefore have an obligation to respect it. In chapter 6 of Romans, we see that we're slaves of righteousness, meaning that God is our master and that we again have an obligation to do good, to be obedient. So looking at these things, when God puts someone in power, because we are servants of God ourselves, we have a conscience that tells us to be obedient to the governing authorities is the right thing to do. And this is not always an easy thing to think or to believe. We have leaders that seem very unjust. We have laws that might be completely backwards of God's design. We see many corrupt things in our government, in our world. But because the authority of these governing authorities comes from God, it's His authority. And deep down, we know, and whether we really know it or not, deep down, we know that they are instituted by God and are in their positions for His purposes and our good. So we have an obligation to be obedient to God's authority for the sake of conscience because of our position under God. And this is reinforced elsewhere in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 22, the Pharisees asked Jesus about taxes. And He says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's." So we see that Jesus was obedient in paying taxes and in submitting to government. In 1 Peter, again with Jesus, we see that He suffered under this government, leaving us an example. The same government talked about here that persecuted Him and killed Him. He didn't do wrong to them, but He actually submitted. In Matthew 17, we see that Jesus paid tax, showing that rooted in our position under God and our beliefs, we must submit to government because it is the right thing to do. Because of this truth, Paul gives the Roman believers practical applications, which leads us to our application too. So looking at verse 7, we see it says, "Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." And our context is very different from theirs. You know, they had the Roman Empire. We have the U.S. government, which, you know, some people say is not much different, but it is very different. But the principles are the same. So we'll just go through this list to start. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. I hope all of you are paying your taxes. And if you're not, I would urge you to start. But the thing I challenge you with is, are you paying your taxes to out of obligation just to not face punishment? Are you doing them just because someone's telling you, or are you doing it because you understand and recognize the authority that God has given to these leaders? Are you recognizing that the taxes are in place to bring order? Are you understanding that God puts these leaders and these plans for society and government in place to show His authority and His power and His morality? So for those who I hope are paying taxes, do it with the right heart because God has put that in place. The second one, revenue to whom revenue is owed. This just means money, which we don't really have people in government who just come up and say, "You need to pay me this right now," but the same principles apply. Is our money being used in government because we're scared of what they're going to do, because we think that they're unjust? Or do we pay the government, do we use what we have for the government because of the place of authority they have under God? The third one, respect to whom respect is owed. And this respect kind of means like a fear. So are we respecting the authorities that God has put above us? Do we recognize where their authority comes from? And do we act in accordance with this truth? I know I'm guilty of it too, but I know lots of us, we see our government right now and we say, you know, what are they doing? why they shouldn't be there. Their place of authority is a joke. They shouldn't be where they are. They can't do their job right. But that's not the heart we should have. Are we respecting that God has put them in place for a reason and for His purpose? Do we respect them not for their place in our country, but their place under God? So I challenge you to think about that and to act that way. Our last one, honor to whom honor is owed. And this one is, as well as respect, is very hard to do sometimes. Again, we say things about our leaders. And as we learned, resisting the authorities resists what God has appointed. So if we're saying things about our leaders, if we're saying things about the people above us and what they are doing, really we are resisting what God has appointed. We are sinning against God. Do we respect them when they do bad things to us or bad things to people around us? Again, Jesus, under the Roman government, was killed. But he submitted. He did not retaliate. The same attitude. When our government does things that we don't agree with, when they tell us to do things that we don't want to do or don't agree with, are we acting the way that Jesus did and submitting to them because of their authority, because of their place? But that does pose one important question. What about authorities that act in ungodly ways? First of all, even with bad intentions, we must submit. Even when government might be using our money to do bad things or might be passing laws that are not godly, we must submit. 1 Peter 2:18 and 19 says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly." So we see that in our place under masters, under authority, we must endure suffering unjustly even. Matthew 22, we see that, again, that Jesus paid taxes to the government that was going to kill him. So we see that even with bad intentions, we must submit. But when our leaders force us to directly violate God's law, it is justified for us to disobey them because God is above all. In Acts 5, the high priest was telling Peter and the apostles to stop teaching in Jesus' name. And Peter and the apostles didn't listen. They said, we need to obey God. So we see that it is okay to disobey government when they force us to directly violate God's law ourselves. But what I want you to think about is Jesus, again in 1 Peter, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Do we recognize our true judge and where our true authority comes from? Do we live in a way that reflects that? Do we live as Jesus did, who, although he was persecuted, loved and asked for forgiveness for them? So looking at those four things in verse 7, taxes, revenue, respect, and honor, if that's not a part of your life, whether you're not doing them at all or you're not doing them for the right reasons, I want you to change that. As you live in our current world and our time, think about these things. Think about what God is doing in our government, in our society, and live this out. Live out the truth that is God instituting and working through authorities. And set an example. You know, we might have strong beliefs sometimes, and that's fine, but are we setting an example for people who have different beliefs than us? Are we setting an example for the people around us that above all we must love and we must respect because of the authority that government has? So with the election coming up, I challenge you to have respect for the people involved and whoever wins eventually, and to show honor, remembering where their authority truly comes from. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the time we could spend together here looking at your word. I pray that as we navigate through election season, that we can stay focused on you and what you're doing in our lives and in government. I pray that whatever the results are, that we can stay focused on what your plan is, and that we can have respect, that we can honor the people above us, and that we can reflect your Son who died for us. In Jesus' name, amen.